we were still talking about being rooted and grounded in the truth of our salvation. In the truth of our salvation. Every Christian should know that we live in the truth of our salvation. We don't live outside of the provisions that Jesus Christ made for you and me. We have nothing else to live on except what Jesus provided for us through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection. These three things, not just the cross, his death, his burial, and his what? These three things, each one of them has an important part. He was died, he was buried, and we were buried with him. He rose, and we rose with him. And he rose, he died as a lamb. He rose as a high priest. And then the job wasn't finished until he went to heaven, presented his blood, and God said, now you can sit at my right hand. That it is finished is telling us I have fully paid for everything. And the ministry of the Old Testament priest was ended right there. They all lost their job right there because a new high priest was in town. So the Christian must understand, my brothers and sisters, that you can't look outside of Jesus. There's nothing outside of Jesus for you. Everything that God provided for us, he provided us in Christ Jesus. That's why we say in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. Every Christian lives in Christ. If I provided you things in this building, you can only find them in this building. When we don't understand this, we miss out. Whereas we're supposed to live in plenty, we live in lack and want. Because we're not looking to where God says to look. And so we must be rooted and grounded in these truths that are found in Christ Jesus. It's not a joking matter. It's not optional. Because that's what you need to live. That's what I need to live. So we need to be rooted and grounded in these truths. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2 to 4, and I'm reading AMPC. If you have AMPC, that would be wonderful. AMPC, Amplified. Yeah, AMPC. From verse 2. No, you yourselves are our letters. You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, our credentials. Written where? In your heart. To be known, perceived, recognized, and read by everybody. You show and make obvious that you are a letter from who? Delivered by us. Not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human heart. You see why I said that you have a new heart? Because you don't have the heart of stone. So it's saying that we, you and I, are letters that Christ has written, delivered to people to read and see. So we should be an expression of the gospel. We should be an expression of what? The gospel. We're letters written. Tell your neighbor, you're a letter written. Who wrote that letter? The Holy Spirit, written by Christ and sent, delivered to your neighbors, to the world, to wherever you are. So they can read and know it. We are not hidden. We are not hidden. Our lives ought to be an expression of that letter that Jesus wrote, called the gospel. That's what it is. And so, the summary of what we began to talk about is our threefold salvation. Spirit, help me now. Spirit, soul, and see, your soul is saved because now it's written on heart of flesh, not on heart of stone. You had heart of stone before. And God said, I'm going to remove that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh because I'm going to write on that heart of flesh. And it's not the heart of the spirit, it's the heart of flesh. Flesh, not spirit. So we are redeemed from sin and its penalties. We are redeemed from death and hell. Redeemed from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Redeemed from sickness and diseases. Jesus bore it all. Redeemed from curses and failures. He became a curse for us. Again, we don't have the mindset of darkness. We have this flesh, this mind of the flesh, completely different from the mind of the stone. Now, in order to get these facts written, engrafted in us, we need to do 5 things. This is not put, this is the way I personally put them. You could have arranged your own way that these things play out. But I think we brought out the general application and I itemized it for ease of understanding. Number one, we said that we need to study to know Jesus Christ. What is number one? Well, let's say it louder. Study to know Jesus Christ. Because why? Who will tell me why you need to study to know Jesus? Why do you need to study to know Jesus? Why? Why do you need to study to know Jesus? Huh? All the things you need for life and godliness are what? In Him. It's all given. The Bible said that they're given to you, and you manifest them through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture says. Through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, all these things are given to you, but you manifest them through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, and the Bible said the truth is in Him. And all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom is in Him. So, you got to know Him because in knowing Him, you discover what God has made available for you and you find who you are. You find who you are. Praise the Lord. So, the Christian must endeavor to make it his goal to know Christ Jesus and Him crucified. And so you pray. You have to pray to know the truth. You have to approach the word of God with respect. You have to meditate on the revealed truth constantly, constantly. Okay, I think now I'm good to go. All right. We're good. Praise the Lord. So, we need to meditate on the revealed truth constantly. And we need to be diligent in pursuit of this truth so we don't forget them. Now, we talked about studying it. 1 Timothy 2:15. 1 Timothy 2, verse 15. 1 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. First Timothy, I'm reading the King James Version. 1 Timothy 2:15, King James Version. I mean, sorry, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, not 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself what? Approved unto God. You know how you put swipe your card and they say approved. Sometimes you swipe, what do they say? Declined. So you want your actions to be approved, not declined. You want your the things you do to be approved, not declined. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we study so we get the proper, accurate interpretation of what the word of God is saying. And you remember Jesus said to Martha, one thing is needful. One thing is what? Needful. Let me read it in Message. Luke chapter 10 verse 39. In Message. Luke chapter 10 verse 39. In Message. She had a sister, Mary, who sat before the master. Message. That is Luke 10, 39. A message. Okay. It's the third line. The third line. I think this 38 does not differentiate between 38 and 39. But when you go to the third line, it says, she had a sister, Mary, who sat before the master, hanging on every word he said. But Martha was pulled away by all she had to do in the kitchen. So later she stepped in, interrupting them. Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen for me? Tell her to do what? Lend me a hand. Continue. The master said, Martha, dear Martha, you are forcing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is what? Essential. And Mary has chosen it. It is the main cause. Think about it. That's the main cause. And won't be taken from her. What is the main cause? What was Jesus talking about? Huh? Mary was sitting at his feet. He said, of everything you do in this world, this is the main cause. That's the main cause. Don't be like, I know Pastor Fashorato will hear this because he listens to this thing. They went to do sports. When they were doing all this regional sports competition. So they took, Enugu was the center. So they took them to Enugu, all the states came, and quartered them in Hotel Presidential. And so they went to eat, and they served them the first course. They all ate and ate, and were full. So when they brought the main course, they say, you didn't tell us another one was coming. They didn't tell us. So Jesus said, don't fill yourself with junk. The main meal is sitting at my feet and feeding from me. That's the main cause. And he says, when you do that, and you do it tenaciously, he says, because Martha has so chosen this that she will fight for it. She says, and won't be taken. No one can take it from her. She has made up her mind that this is my main deal. Nobody will stop me from this. So in life, we need to also realize that we make it a priority and say, nobody will take this away from me, that I need to study. And like I keep saying, one of the greatest battles you fight is to study the Bible. Every Christian knows what I'm talking about. So now look at Acts chapter 17. Let's see people who did this before. New King James Version. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. He's talking about Christians in Berea. In that they received the word with all readiness. They received the word with all readiness. And what did they do? They searched the scripture. How often? Daily. To find out whether these things were so. They were not reading the scripture because they didn't quiet time. Because they have a scheduled time. No, they were in search of something. They were really in search of truth. They were searching to find out if this thing this man is teaching us is what? Is truth. They were out to get something. And if you seek, you find. But if you read it because I have to do my quiet time, it's a religious obligation. You find nothing. Because you are in search of nothing. You are seeking nothing. Actually, what you are seeking is to fulfill religious obligation. So you found it, you got it, and that's it. That's why a lot of Christians are. They read the Bible as a duty. They read it as a... In fact, some people think if I don't read it, God won't hear me. And some people put it under their pillow as talisman. If you do that, can I see your hand up? You are hiding your hand. Some people put it, what? Under the pillow. Some people open Psalm 51 on their bed to drive out evil spirits. These people were reading and searching for the truth. They were searching. They were not just, they were studying, they were searching. They were doing referencing. They were search here, you search here. It was when you search for something, you are searching every nook and corner. And the result of that search is in verse 12. Look at the result in verse 12. Verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed. And also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. The result of that search is that they got revelation of the truth. And many of them, what? Believe. Then you find out that when challenges hit us, you really know that many people don't believe the scripture. Because what we talk, how much afraid we become, how fearful we become, how confused we become. We tell you that the person has believed nothing, coming to church for years. 4 years. So the other thing we do is we pray so that the teacher will reveal the truth of the word to us. We pray. We do targeted prayer. We do, what did I call it? Targeted prayer. You on purpose ask for God to teach you. You on purpose ask God to open your eyes. You on purpose ask God to reveal this truth to you. It becomes a daily prayer for you because you study the Bible daily. And remember that if you don't ask, you don't get. And so if you want the Spirit of God to give you a revelation or interpretation of this truth, you need to pray to God to open your eyes, to teach you what is in this scripture that you are reading. Ephesians 1:15. Says, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. That's number one. And I pray for you how often? I pray for you how often? Constantly. Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you what? Spiritual wisdom and insight. To give you spiritual wisdom and what? Insight. So that you might grow in your knowledge of Moses. Come on, church. Your knowledge of what? Of God. Gives you insight. Gives you revelation. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with the light so that you can understand the confident hope, so that when challenges come, you understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people. His what? I didn't hear you. His what? Who are his holy people? Why is he calling you holy? I thought you said you are not holy. Why is God calling you holy? I thought you said, no, I'm not holy. Yep. Why is the Holy Spirit calling the church holy people? Because they're righteous before God. Because God has clothed us in the righteousness of Christ. He's created us new creatures in true holiness and in true righteousness. So he says, if you don't believe it, don't read it. When we read it, please don't read with us. So he says, let's start from verse 18 and read. I pray that what? Your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called. His what? Who are his rich and glorious? Because you say, I belong to Jesus. I am glad I belong to Jesus. But you don't know what you're talking about, because that's what he's saying, that you are his inheritance. He has bought you. You belong to him. Can I hear amen? I also pray that you will understand. See the word understand coming up and up. That you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. Now, when you understand the incredible greatness of God's power, then you stop fearing the devil. It's very simple. You stop fearing the devil, you stop fearing sin, you stop fearing the world, you stop fearing anything else. Fear goes. When my father died, there was one bishop then. They all knew he was doing the native, whatever. They thought he was doing native doctor, whatever. So he was coming to our compound, and immediately they saw him. People ran to me and said, I must not greet him. I'm not joking. They were shaking. They said, that man, I pushed them away. Pushed them away. I went there and greeted him. You are Lordship, sir. And brought him in with joy. He's a bishop. Who am I to judge him? I went and greeted him. They were all in the kitchen peeping whether I've fallen and died. I mean, this is it's incredible, the kind of thing we think. And you come to church and say, I have a very big egg, and then you see chicken. And you run. Chicken, spider. That they tied it with red cloth. You are gone from church. We won't see you again. So Paul is saying the reason we do that is we don't understand who God is. That's the reason we fear things. What did David say? Even if I pass through the valley, shadow of death, I will fear. Why? The one that is with me is greater than death, can do nothing. Greater than death. So Paul said, I pray that you will understand the incredible what? Greatness of God's power for us who believe him. The same mighty power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So you see that when you pray for this understanding, then the Holy Spirit will give you the understanding and give you the revelation. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Again, remember I told you how for a whole week, unless I didn't sleep, I would see a phone around, it's me. I'm not kidding. It's me. They laid me out and they put me in coffin and put me in the grave, and I'll be watching all of this. 7 days every day. Unless I didn't close my eye. Then after watching it, you know what I did? I just laughed. I said to the devil, you're wasting your time. You're showing me all these things. You're wasting your time. I said, let me give you scripture in case you don't know. With long life, he will satisfy. Case closed. I didn't pray about it. He didn't merit my answer. He didn't merit my attention whatsoever. Lala. Because I had focused on Jesus having fun. This one is a liar. I just woke up and laughed. And I didn't even tell my wife. I didn't tell anybody. I wasn't even a pastor. Didn't tell anybody. I'll just get up and laugh. I said, devil, what? You don't have any other thing to do. I said, didn't you read the Bible? With long life, he will what? Satisfied. I said, my case is over. You bury yourself. Never didn't bind loose, do not waste. After 7 days, he realized I was not listening. Carried this thing and went somewhere. Am I still alive? I'm asking you. Ah, you're not sure whether I'm alive or not. I'm alive now, I'm here. I'm here. Because God will do what he said. Which one do I believe? Is it dream that has nothing to do with God or the word of God that is infallible? And I wasn't a pastor, nothing. I've never bothered any pastor. Never. I've always gone to the scripture. Gotten my scripture and that. So once I see the scripture, case closed. Never bothered anybody. I've never sent prayer requests to anybody. All my life, I don't know how to do that. I just take my scripture, go to God, I will sort it out. Case closed. So we need to pray that our eyes of understanding open. And about the time they were showing me all these things, man, I'll study scripture till 3 a.m. I'm going to choose scripture. One day I'm going to bring my Bible, she'll look at it. I study scripture, boy. I really study scripture. I gave scripture time. So I didn't have time for that. It didn't amount to a pack of this. Because if you agree with him, they kill you. They brought my wife after that and showed me. That they say, we killed your wife now. And she's pregnant. Then I laughed and laughed. I laughed. He said, she's not pregnant. Why are you wasting your time? Why can't you find something else to do? She said, she's not pregnant. Then 2 hours after, 2 weeks, my wife came and said, you know, I'm pregnant. I said, what did you say? She said, I'm pregnant. I didn't tell her anything at all. I said, then they now came like a group against me. They said, we'll kill your wife. We'll kill her in this pregnancy. I said, you can't. The blessings of God make it rich and does not add. I said, you can't make God a liar, waste nothing. I won't tell you details of that story. But my wife had ectopic pregnancy, 4th degree, and I didn't have money to send her to hospital. She didn't go to hospital 6 months. The doctor said, get that to your husband here. In fact, by 8 months, that was the second. She went to hospital twice. 6 months. Don't do this, I'm telling you, do your own. By the 8 months, she went, is it 8 months or something? The doctor was mad. He said, that your husband must have lost his mind. I didn't have money. Don't look at me like that. Have you never been broke? I didn't have. However, Ugochukwu came out. They didn't kill my wife. They didn't kill my son. And we're here. Those that trust in the Lord will never be put to shame. Praise the Lord. And nobody knew. Nobody had any. Nobody knew. Nobody, not even my closest friends. Nobody had. I told nobody nothing. It was not necessary. Why should I tell them? When God has said, the blessings of God make it sweet and does not add. So what am I going to tell you to do? Is it to come and make God faithful? You have said it, I said it. So we must pray to know these things, brethren. What I'm telling you is true. Because challenges do come. And what you know is critical. Because God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we pray, again, because the scripture, it does not lend itself to personal human interpretation. You can't interpret scripture from your opinion. Your opinion, my opinion, amounts to zero. What you think or what I think about scripture makes no sense. It's useless. It doesn't play any role. You know, I hear people preach. They say, what I think about, no, what you think is totally irrelevant. What I think doesn't mean anything. What with our thinking, It's relevant. Our opinion is relevant. The only thing that matters is what the Holy Spirit what says about it. The Bible said to the church, he said you should listen to what the Holy Spirit says to the church. Not the opinion of anybody. Not the opinion of anybody. Because the Holy Spirit is the only one. Jesus himself said, he said, I don't give my opinion. He said, I don't give my opinion. He said, the words you hear are not my own. I don't give my opinion. He said, it's my Father. Praise the Lord. So that's why we pray. That's why we pray. Because it's a purely purely spiritual exercise, the Word of God. The author alone interprets it. Something I'm mystery about the Word of God that it comes from the Holy Spirit, even though you speak it, but it inspires it. It comes from Him, even though you speak it. It's not your word, it inspires it. So we pray so that He will look at 1 Corinthians 2:13. Okay, 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. So you can't give it your personal interpretation. Then 1 Corinthians 2:13. Again, this is why we pray. This is why we pray. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So it's always coming from the Holy Spirit, not from man. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The Spirit gives life. The Spirit what? The flesh conveys no benefit whatsoever. That is amplified. There is no profit in it. The words, truths that I have been speaking to you are Spirit and life. They come from the Spirit. It says the Spirit that gives life. It is sourced from Him. He gives life. This word comes from Him. If it comes from Him, then He gives life. If it comes from the flesh, it's worthless. So that's why Paul was preaching. He said, look, I didn't come to you with human oratory. He says it's useless. He said, I didn't come. And I'm not adding anything to this thing. So that I don't make the power of the cross of no effect. He said, I just say what the Spirit is saying. That's all. And, brethren, can I give us advice? Look up here. Never try to help God. Don't embellish testimonies. God doesn't need it. Don't exaggerate testimonies. God doesn't need that. He doesn't need a lie. He knows how to glorify Himself. Just say what God did. Stop there. Don't go further. Leave it like that. Don't try to help God. Somebody was saying that, you know, we don't give testimonies. I said, no, we give testimonies. But the last thing that I do is to go around asking you whether you want to. If you give, it's okay. If you don't give, it's okay. God will do what He wants to do. Anytime I want to give testimony, you come to us now. He said, I want to give testimony, but I'm not going to go around. If you give, why? If you don't give, God will do His work. Because God knows how to, if He wants to glorify Himself, you are not telling Him what to do. He can shake up this church in 1 second, one day. And everybody's going, whoa, what's going on here? He can do anything. So God doesn't need embellishment. He doesn't need that. If you are teaching people the word, just teach the word. Don't try to force them, hang Christianity upon them, hang religion upon them. Stop that. Just do the one God has given you to do and go your way. Praise the Lord. And this is why a lot of people, this youth, many of them won't come to church because parents want to hang, you know, it's like forcing them. You don't force people to do anything. And once you start that forcing, the Spirit of God that leaves you alone. Because it doesn't force people. Praise the Lord. The day you stop forcing, He takes over and start walking. But both of you can't walk the same thing. So because He's the one that speaks it, we pray. We pray that He gives us utterance. He gives us understanding in the words that He's speaking. Now, He uses people to teach it. Like he appoints teachers in the church, Sunday school teachers, life center leaders, you know, people that teach in the church. And He has direct revelation He gives to you. He brings you understanding of a scripture, which you read, which you hear. He uses life experiences to illustrate scripture for you. He uses the gifts of the Spirit to illustrate scripture for you. After all these things, the next thing I'm going to teach is the gifts of the Spirit and the offices of the church. That will bring us to the end of the year, talking about the communion with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So he uses gifts of the Spirit. We had yesterday at the believers' meeting, somebody was sharing how he was walking, and all of a sudden he stopped and was in a trance. And God was showing him people going to hell. A lot of people. Then telling him that this is why he should preach the gospel. See, God was teaching him. But God was using the gift of the Spirit to show him something. The manifestation of the Spirit is not just falling down. It's more than that. So he uses people to teach. He can teach you directly as you are there, as you are studying, as you're in your car. He can teach you directly. He can use life experience to illustrate things for you. He can use the gift of the Spirit to show you what the scripture is saying. And look at Luke chapter 24, verse 45. Then opened he their understanding. Then opened he what? Their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. So this is what he does. He opens, see the word understanding keeps showing up. Understanding keeps showing up. If he doesn't open it, they won't understand. Now, can I please look up here? See, in dealing with people, please look up here. In dealing with people, let me tell us something. In dealing with people, don't quarrel with people. There's no wisdom in that. Because what you're saying can be true. God, they can be telling me what is true, but I won't see it. Even if he hits me on the head, I still don't see it. And God will know, okay, I won't quarrel with him. He'll go back and say, open his what? Eyes. And I can call God the 3 days after and say, God, you know that thing you were saying, telling me, wow, that thing is true. Hey, it's now I'm seeing what you are. See, it's, why do we fight? Why do we fight? You want to quarrel? Things you tell people, they may not see it. There are things people tell you, you don't see it too. So you go and talk to God and say, Lord, my brother is not getting this. You know. I want him to understand it. Help me to open what? He said. Do it with your children too. They are not hearing you. Don't fight. Don't quarrel. Don't push things over people. Step back and go to God and say, he's not getting what I'm saying. Open what? His eyes. The same child of yours will come back and say, Mom, you know that thing we're talking about. Now it's clearer to me what you were saying. Wow, this is true. And then now, because the person accepts it from within, it becomes something he owns. You don't have to force him every day to do it. All that decision becomes his own decision. Am I clear? Am I communicating to you? Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, my wife, when he came to me, said we should change our last name. I said, hey. I said, my last name? I married you to come and change my last name. That's what I said. I said, oh. I said, why is it women like trouble? This wonderful man you married, you are looking for trouble. I changed my father's name. I said, there's nothing I won't hear. I said, okay, fine, let's sit down. Your father's name, my father's name, which one is better? That's what I did. That's what I said. I'm just trying to illustrate to you that there are things you don't know. God has shown somebody. And the person is communicating to you. Don't fight the person. Don't fight. Go back to the same God and say, Lord, this person is not seeing even husband and wife. Learn these things. She said to me, say, please, my husband, please. I'm sorry. Please, oh. Please, don't be angry. We are not changing. You are my husband. Anything you say, we do. Please do. And every time my wife says that, it's a dangerous statement. Because I know where she's going. Once I hear, I say, it's okay. Okay. I said, this has gotten tough now. She said, it's okay. I said, please. Oh, it's okay. I was going for a conference. And then I left. Very satisfied that I have put her where she belongs. Okay, I don't hear that again. I said, if God is, why didn't God tell me to? Am I not your husband? And God didn't tell me, come and tell wife to tell husband. I said, no, it's not right. It's not true. So I went for this conference. She went back to God. This is what I'm saying, telling us. Stop fighting and quarreling. He went back to God. He said, my husband is not seeing this thing. Talk to him yourself. Dr. Anozo came to do this conference. I don't forget that day. He wore some, what he wore, I've never seen that type of dress. So I was to leave. And then something said, you are not leaving. And that they said, you stay in front. You are not going. Stay in front. So I went and stayed in front. He came. He started to preach. He said, some of you, God is telling you to change your names. Guess where he's pointing? In front of me. God is telling you to change your names. You say you are not changing. Okay, when you die, you will realize why. He continued what he was teaching. They had no connection. They had no connection. What he was teaching and what he said had no, and nobody else there mentioned it after. Only me knew what happened. And I got home, I said to her, I said, you have been praying. He said, what else do I do? I said, you told God to talk to me. He said, yeah. I said, he did. Now the Lord began to talk to me. He said, I showed you this thing several times. You did not understand it. And I showed it to your wife. Then God took me back to the scripture I read every day. Showed me where he told me this thing. And I marked it, put the date. I still have that Bible in my house. And when I said to her, I said, let's ask God, what name are we going to take? And then we said, we came up with a man that God is with us. I went back to the Bible. I saw where I marked it. Your name shall be called Emmanuel. Right? I marked it, put the date and time. But I didn't get it. You see, you go and ask God to open. So it cuts off all this quarreling, fighting that's not necessary in life. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Are you following me? It's the same thing with Sunday school teachers. You are teaching, they don't get, don't fight them. Don't fight them. Go back to the scripture, to God. Say, Lord, open their eyes. They'll get it. And you'll be positive about it. You speak by faith now. Lord, they will get it. Because it is given to them to know what I also know. Praise the Lord. So God opens our eyes to see. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. We read it before. Now, the next thing we need to do to get these things engrafted and written in us is to approach the word of God with reverence, not pride. To approach the word of God with what? Reverence, not pride. We said the first one is to study the scripture. Number two, to pray about it. Right? Right? Then number three now is to approach the word of God with reverence, not pride. With a teachable spirit, not a prideful, I know it all. Once you see people who know it all run for their life, that's a recipe for disaster. I'm telling you now. Look at Proverbs 26:12. Proverbs 26:12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a what? Let's read it together. One, two, go. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope than, put it, New Living Translation. New Living Translation. There is more hope for what? Fools than for people who think they are. Once you see people who know too much, that's a recipe for disaster. It's an accident that will happen. It will happen. Because the very thing that will get them away from that disaster, they will not listen. I learned this from my mentor. He said, make a mental note of such people. Because the very thing that you are, God will tell them that, oh, no, I know it. They don't know it all. So we approach the word of God. We approach the word of God with reverence, not pride. With teachable spirit. James 1:21. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly, you know, all this filth and evil is pride, prideful life, and humbly accept. How do we accept the word of God? Humbly accept the word of God, the word God has planted in your house, for it has the power to save your soul. So it is something that we need to accept humbly, teachable, meekness, easily entreated. That is what meekness means. Now, so first way to approach the word of God with reverence is to approach it with a teachable spirit. Another way is to be very quick in responding to the revelation you have received. Not a drawn-out, reluctant response. After a long time of dragging your feet, you know, there's a difference between brothers and those who will come. There's a difference between him telling me, sit down. No, not you tell me, sit down. Then after 5 months, finally, sit down. Do you know that this is the same with disobedience? Reluctant response. God doesn't accept it. God says, don't give me what is cold. Don't give me cold stuff. So, quick response. Sit down. Sit down. All this dragging, thank you, my brother. Forgive. God, you don't know what they did to me. If you know what they did to me. Oh, you don't understand, God. To forgive. No. That's it. Brother, let me tell us the truth. It's a dangerous thing. The day we blow up, we may not make it alive. I'm telling you the truth. It's a very dangerous thing. Because the demons like that kind of thing. They love it. You're just creating room for them. They love it. Seriously love it. You see, what God tells us is to steer us away from destruction. It's to lead us into life. So we need to be people who are quick to respond. Quick to respond. Everybody say quick to respond. Say it faster. Quick to respond. So you don't drag your feet with God. Now, we are parents. Some of us have children. How will you feel your children drag their feet to respond to you? You tell them something, they go away, they drag their feet. After so long, they finally... Is that respect? But we do it to God. So we need to learn to honor the word of God and be quick, very quick to respond. And so do not pay lip service to God's word. It's an insult to treat it like that. You know you have no interest in doing it. So the other way we approach the word of God with respect, do not exalt men above God's word. Don't quote Bishop so and Bishop so, Archbishop and Apostle, and quote them. No, please. God has exalted his word. What? You can't exalt anything above that word again. God has exalted above his name. How can you exalt a man's name above the word that God has exalted above his name, his own name? You say he's bishop or whoever, whatever he is, senior pastor, whatever the title he has. You can't do that. That is insulting God, because God said, I've exalted this above my own name. So you take somebody's title and put it above God's word. How does it work? And we do that because they say, ha! The man has anointing. Who cares? First Corinthians 4:6. Especially if they are popular preachers, television preachers, whatever they say is not. Look, you have to go to scripture and find out if what that man is saying is true. Because I've heard a lot of things that is not true. It's not Bible. I had one of the most popular names ever. If I mention the name, you will be like, wow. I went to somewhere. People came to give their life to Christ. They never confessed faith in Christ. He prayed over them, telling God to answer them by fire and everything. I said, you are saved. You were there. This is one of the names in Nigeria. If you call it, the whole everybody is rushing. I sat there and said, what is this? They never confessed faith in Christ. Nothing. This is a witness. He said, Lord, if they now pray, answer them by fire and all. Is that how you get saved? Thousands. He was there. I tapped him and said, see. Jesus was not even presented, accepted, confessed. First Corinthians 4:6. First Corinthians, it says, and these things, brethren, I have in figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men, what? Not to think of men, what? I want to hear you say that. Not to think of men, what? Including me. You can't take what I teach you if it's not underwritten by scripture. Don't exalt a human being, including me. Don't do that. Don't try that. Don't quote me. Don't go and say, Pastor Chinedu said. No. I want you to say the scripture says. Don't quote me. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Quote the scripture. Learn to quote Bible. Let the Spirit of God speak through you. Quote scripture. Don't say, oh, Pastor said. Pastor said. Pastor said. Pastor said, take scripture. What scripture? Scripture says. I prefer you say scripture says. The Bible says. This is what the scripture says. Leave pastor alone. I'm not the Holy Spirit, and you are not. Praise the Lord. And every word you believe and every word you teach people, you must not make the scripture lie. If you are teaching Sunday school, preaching on the pulpit, don't twist the scripture to support what you want to say. That's putting lies in the mouth of God. Leave the scripture alone. If you read it, leave it what? God knows what he wants to say. You think God doesn't know what he wants to say? If you want to use scripture, read it exactly the way it is. Leave it like that. Don't twist it. And the Bible said, at the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be what? Established. You can't take one scripture and run with it. You have to find a scripture that gives you the full context of what you say. Because people have run with one scripture and ruined lives. Destroyed lives. And the scripture must underwrite and authenticate everything you believe as a doctrine. Everything you teach people, you must teach out of the scripture. You must teach out of the scripture. The scripture must underwrite it. The scripture must authenticate it. It must come from the scripture. It must come from the scripture. It can't come from your human opinion. You go to the scripture. The Bible said Paul taught from the scripture. The Bible said that Jesus showed them from the scripture. He asked them the scripture, how have you been reading? Then the Bible said he started from Moses and showed them everything concerning him. Isaiah 8:20. Isaiah 8:20. Look to God's instruction. New Living Translation. New Living Translation. Isaiah 8:20. Look to God's what? Instructions and teachings. People who contradict his word are completely where? In the dark. You can't say but. There's no but. If the Bible says God has made you righteous, that's what it is. You can't say but. You can't. We were warned in the book of Revelation not to add to it and not to remove. Leave it like that. Then 2 Timothy 3:16. This is the last scripture for tonight. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, New King James Version, and is profitable for number one, church. Number one. So every doctrine a church teaches, every doctrine a Christian believes, must have its basis in scripture. It's just like, I think I was discussing with Pastor about the Holy Communion. Should you have Holy Communion at home? And I said that I don't have any biblical basis for taking Holy Communion outside the church. Do you have one? I said, I'd like to follow Bible. I'm not wiser than Bible. Have you seen one? So they always seen the church. The church got to together. Paul said, when you come together, that's what I saw. I didn't see any other thing. So I like to limit myself there. I like to stop them. I don't want to go beyond Bible. It's not safe. That's how wrong doctrine started. So when you come together for the Holy Communion, when you come together, when you what? Come together. That's what they said. I said, so when you want to talk of doctrine, you must limit yourself to Bible. There are certain attractive things people do. But I always say to myself, I'm not wiser than God. That word is lamp unto my feet, and what? Light unto my path. So I walk within that path. That's all. I don't want to get outside there. They say this apostle did that. Praise God. Let us stay here. The apostle is not light unto my path. It's his word. So I follow it. Praise the Lord. And if you stay within the scripture, you get everything God wants you. Because you are walking in the light and the path he gave you. So the scripture is given to us for doctrine. Given to us for what? Doctrine. And what else? For reproof. What is reproof? What is reproof? Huh? But it says reproof for correction. So it differentiated reproof. What is reproof, sister? Eh? Eh? Clarification. Clarification, right? Yeah, she said reproof is clarification. What is reproof? Those of you doing ESPO, can we have what you find out? Eh? Authenticate is reproof. That's what she said. Clarification. To authenticate. That's exactly, she's right. To authenticate. Which means if the scripture does not give it authenticity, then that is not authentic. If it's not from Bible, it's not authentic. That's what he's saying. It's given to us for doctrine. This doctrine is set of your belief system, what you believe. Then to authenticate the things you believe, to say this is authentic. If you want to find fake, you put it against the scripture. Then for what again? Correction. Let me tell us something, what the Lord told me. Let me tell you what he told me. He said, you know there are spiritual vital signs. Okay, not today. Okay, fine. Not today. All right. We continue. He said, go finish what you're saying. Then giving to us doctrine, reproof, correction, and what? Instruction in righteousness. So to the right things you should do, we're not at a loss as to how to do it. It's right there. How to get married is right there. How to treat your wife is right there. How to treat your husband is what? It's right there. How to treat your children is right there. Your responsibilities in the church is right there. It's right there. Everything is right there. We can't say, I don't know. It's right there. So you see, that's why we must approach this scripture with reverence so that it will instruct us. It will clarify things for us. It will give us the authentic doctrine, not popular doctrine, not popular, not denominational doctrine, but Bible-based what? I tell people, I say, I'm not really a denominational man. I follow Jesus. Because I'm not saved by faith in any denomination. I'm saved by faith in... So if a denomination begins to go off the rail, I'm not following them. I'm not following you. This salvation cost God his son. I'm not following you. I'm saying it. I want to be guided by scripture. The Bible says, don't turn to the right and don't turn to the left. I'm not following you. Once you start rationalizing things, you're on your own. I'm so foolish that I don't have wisdom. I want to rely on the one God has showed me. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. We were one conference that my wife and I, they brought us up to talk. I told them, I said, I have one appeal to make. I said, bring back the Bible. Say, people have thrown out the scripture. Bring back, that's why I don't have any other thing to say. I spread it for them. B-I-B-L-E, Bible, bring it back. She was there. From that day, I became a pariah. I was no more a favored son of the land. Who cares? I know you love me now, so I came back to my people. Praise the Lord. If that day I came back, somebody brought me onugbu soup that day. So it's like God says, come back to your people. Let me give you compensation. So we must stick to scripture. That's what I'm saying. You must what? Stick to scripture. Don't be tempted by miracles. Don't be tempted by miracles. Don't be tempted by miracles. For God's sake, please, it clarifies everything for you. Stay there. And if you stay there and you're steadfast, miracles will happen. But don't be tempted by those things. I tell pastors, I say, you don't do things to grow a church. Don't be doing programs so people will come to your church. You don't grow church by enticing people. It's the work of the Spirit to add to the church those that are saved now. You don't be saying, they're doing this, let us do this. They're doing deliverance, let us do deliverance. They're doing Navid, we do Navid. You don't have to. Did God tell you? If he didn't tell you, just do what God told you. He will bring people he wants to bring there, people you don't even know. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. There are churches that are school. There are churches that are advertisement churches. There are churches, if you go, you find that it's a school. God produces mature people there. He works on them and works on them and works on them and works on them. He works on them and works on them. And watch those people in future where God is placing them. See what God is doing. There are churches that advertise. And you stay there, pretty soon you get dissatisfied. You are grown beyond that milk thing. You want the real food. You leave. I'm telling the truth. Let's rise up. Praise the Lord. Am I still your pastor? I thought you have thrown